One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is, your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. We are in the building today. I got a special guest back from my neck of the woods. But I mean, if you are from Baltimore, then you know we don't really claim that part.
That's crazy. Don't get shady now.
But I mean, you actually from DC.
Nah, I am.
Yeah.
Don't get shady though. Don't do that.
Nah, I'm not.
I'm not mad because we don't claim Baltimore either. But like, don't be
right,
shady
so,
and be like
when we here, we be like. Back
well, yeah,
home,
for
yeah,
sure.
You feel
we
me?
Have
but
to. And because
we got to stay together.
Exactly.
Yeah, but when we home, it's like, that's D.C.
We separate. I'm not, let me tell you, I went to the gym the other day. I walked in, and like, you know, it says like your location.
Right.
So this dude was like, you from Maryland? And I was like, I'm from D.C. Why? He's like, oh, I was going to ask you to say something. I said.
What, two?
Exactly. I said, I don't say it like that. He was like, oh, nah, I ain't mean no offense. No,
yeah,
I was like, I ain't offended. I'm just saying, like,
just
that's Baltimore.
Yeah. But we got Janae Music in the building. What up, man?
Hey.
How you feeling?
I feel good. How you feeling?
I'm good, man.
Thanks for calling me special.
Yeah, you special, man. This is a special episode for a special person, man.
Amen. Come on.
Who makes special music, real special music.
Yes, I do. I try to.
Yeah. So how you feeling? Like, tell me what's going on. What's new? For the people that don't know, like, how do you feel right now if you had to, on a scale from 1 to 10, you can't say 7.
Kevin Samuels.
What would you rate yourself? what would you say?
Rate myself?
No, like how you feeling? Like
how
yeah,
I'm feeling?
Mentally.
That's hard. Mm. I'm not going to lie to you. I would say, because I can't say 7, I guess I'll say 6.
Mm. Why 6 and not 8?
Because it's not that it's not good. Like, musically, I feel good.
Mm.
But I'm also conflicted musically right now. And then I think personally, like my personal life, mm-hmm. it's kind of taking a toll on how I feel, you know, mentally, emotionally, all the things. So now I'm trying to get my spiritual up, get my emotional and mental together. Physically, I feel good though. I've been in the gym recently, so I'm like, I'm bouncing back.
That's
and
good.
A lot of times that plays a role in like the rest of the things to follow, but.
100%. So when you say you're conflicted musically, like, talk about it.
So I feel like one thing that we don't really like talk about as artists is like when you're creating music, a lot of times when you like writing, recording, all the things, like you're in this mood, right? And mm-hmm. so it's like, I wrote this music and I was feeling like this. Mm-hmm. And I was like hopeful and happy and all the things. And now I'm not. And now that it's like, because after you do like, you know, you start preparing the music, you go through all the processes of getting it done and getting it out there. By the time it's out there, you're in a whole different space than where you were when you created it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people take heed to that. Or it's, you know what I mean? So right now it's like, I'm promoting music that I would say I don't feel right now.
That's not like where I am in my life, but it was where I was. But that's the special thing about music though.
It is.
Because although you may, like, things change, times change, but one thing that remains the same is somebody going to feel like that.
And that's the whole thing. And so it's like a lot of times it's like, even though for me it's like I'll create and express and make music based off of how I feel,
mm-hmm.
I also do it for everybody else. Like I always say when people, it's on my website too, it's like from my heart to your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I feel like it's a release. I let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you relate to it or if you enjoy it, then it's for you.
Nah, that's a fact, man. So how do you feel right now? Like, I guess, what space are you in? What? Because I didn't get a chance to check out the music, so I apologize.
Hey, no, it's okay.
What space were you in and what space are you in now?
So the project is called 90s Type Love. Mm-hmm. So it's a little love project right
That's
now.
That's a vibe.
And it is. So I did like an R&B thing, you know, kind of took it back, had some harmonies on there, mm-hmm. kind of made it a little fun. And it's really like promoting love. And granted, and I'm always going to promote love. Like, black love, more power to you.
You full of shit. Until somebody hurts your heart, you're like, man, fuck that nigga.
Exactly. And that's where I'm at right now. So...
Okay.
Yeah, so at the time it was like, these are all the things that I want to feel, like I'm looking forward to, mm-hmm. what I want in my, you know, in my situation, in my life, all the things. And then it's like, that's over. So mm-hmm. now it's like...
So is it, do you feel like I'm outside right now, or is like F love, or like where would you say?
Damn. I don't want to say, this is the thing, I'm not an outside-y type of... I don't know. That's why I said I'm conflicted.
I mean, things change, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're in the gym and you might want to be like, oh, I'm outside. Like,
you know, being sexy, so somebody come get me. No, I honestly, and it's not even like fuck love. I think that when you get to a space where you're hurting, you kind of just like, you don't want to feel it no more. Yeah. And you want to do everything to avoid feeling it. So it's like, right now I feel like I'm trying to avoid that feeling. So it's like still trying to get that person out of my mind, out of my head, out of my heart. And then still trying to move forward in life and maneuver to the next situation. Not next person or next relationship, but just like be at peace with where you are. Mm. And so I always tell people, like, when you leave relationships, don't leave thinking I'm going to find better. Don't leave thinking like I'm okay if I'm by myself. And so for me, I feel like I got to get to a space where I'm like, I'm okay when I'm by myself or by myself. And that's where I'm trying to grow to.
That's true. See, now when you, but it's when it's time to move on, like, I feel like we all are human and we might have this, like, we all got a little bit of shallowness to us, right? So, like, the next person gotta be, like...
Better.
Kinda, right? It's like, a little bit, like something better gotta
be. I mean, for sure, but it's the thing, what's better, though? Because when we say better, I think that it's perspective. Because I done seen some niggas move on to somebody else, or a girl move on, and they be ugly.
All right, yeah, so that's what I was about to say. Maybe not better, but it can't be. I just feel like you can't move forward... And they and the person don't at least look like up to par, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, or like, you feel me?
Your level of attraction might change, I'm not gonna lie. Like, and I feel like as I feel like as we get older, we no longer be looking like for the best looking person. I'm tripping?
No. You're not tripping, right? But I'm just picturing like. See, like,
like, I can't mess with no ugly joint. I'm sorry.
It's not even that, right? So like, I feel like, now I've been talking about this a lot, so I feel like niggas already know, right? So, my situation, I got a child. I feel like I can't just pull up, pick up my daughter, and like, I got somebody that's like, just don't look as good as my, I don't know, bro, like, as my ex, I don't know, like, nah, I can't.
I mean, you can, and at the end of the day, I mean.
And then we was on the internet, like, hell no. Nah.
Listen, let me say this. At the end of the day, when you was there, though, you was like, this is the baddest bitch in the world. So it's kind of hard to be like, I'm going to find better. Where you going to find better?
No. I get it. I'm just saying, like, far as that, like, you got to look good, though. I'm sorry.
For sure. I mean, you want that. But see, for women, it's different, though, because...
You get a little medium ugly, you be good.
I was going to say, because niggas just don't be cute these days.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like...
You get a medium ugly, you be all right. You feel me? As long as you got some shit going.
No, this is the thing, and not even that. I be finding them attractive. I'm not going to hold you. I've been in so many situations where I be like, yeah, that's him. And they be like... Bitch, what the fuck? And I'm like, ooh, don't do me this bae. Like, ooh, I love him.
I mean, I feel like y'all can get away with that, but I'm not even gonna say men. I just feel like, depending on where you are, like, me, he's on the internet, like, we had a whole lot of shit going on. So if I pop out and it's, like, flawed, niggas gonna be like,
you're downgraded.
They fucking don't start tagging.
We ain't tagging, you know, you can do it privately, just send it to the DMs.
Yeah.
You see this shit.
I don't even think I'm...
Look at your shared amount.
And yeah, if it I ain't posting. I might not even do that. Like,
well, I'm not going to hold you. I ain't posted in years. I ain't posted nobody in about 5 years.
Yeah, I might be
off
that.
I ain't going to either. Mm-mm. Yeah, nah, it's definitely a wrap for that.
It's a dub.
I mean, it never was a thing for me. I posted one nigga maybe like once or twice if it was like a birthday, you know, like just showing love or something like that. But
did he start acting up like as soon as you post him, or It was good. Because you know this, once you post somebody, it'd be like, now you...
Like, nah, man. Honestly, I posted him in the beginning of our relationship, so... And we was together for a couple years after that, so we're good.
So this last guy, how long y'all was together? Was it like an official or was it just dating?
It wasn't official.
Okay.
We was just dating. And honestly, not that long, you know, but I'm a lover girl.
I was about to ask you, are you like a hopeless romantic?
I am!
Oh my
Shoot
God.
Me. I hate it. I am a hopeless romantic. I said this on another podcast. I was like, I'm a lover girl. I'm like, but nobody loves me.
Oh, no.
I be feeling like that. Like, damn. And I be, sometimes, you know, people be like, oh, you too much for a person. And I be like, well.
So what do you think you go wrong in the relationships?
I think it's different things in different situations.
Last one.
Honestly, in this one, I just think that I was more into him than needed. You know what I mean? Than what was called
I feel like
for.
That gotta be the case though, especially with men and women. Like it gotta be. You gotta like me more than I like you.
Really?
Hell yeah.
I feel like I gotta be the opposite. Like a nigga gotta be on my line and you gotta be on my dick.
Nah.
Cause what the fuck was that? Like, and I'm not gonna hold you, the first time I've been in this space where it was like, I was like really like into this person and he swear, like, I fuck with you. I'm with you. But then it's just like, but that's not the energy you giving me.
He was
me.
Nonchalant?
Very. I need a nigga to chalant. Just a little bit. But it's my fault, though. Just a little bit. Because I really don't like niggas that be pressed. And I don't like niggas that's too nice. I just had a conversation with my best friend. And she was like, I had told her a couple weeks ago, I was talking to somebody. And I was like, he's nice. And she was like, well, how's that going? Because you don't like nice niggas.
Mm.
And I was like, you right. But I deserve nice things. So I'm trying to get out of my way. So part of it is my fault. I think the type of niggas that I like, they not nice niggas. And the thing is, I want the favoritism. Like, be nice to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Be mean to everybody else. I like that shit, but don't be mean to me. Or even when you are mean to me, you sprinkling a little nice, I could be like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah.
And he had some moments like that, but it was very few far in between. And I was just like, all right, nigga. And I'm not going to lie. Like, we tried to back and forth. Like, we had moments where it was like, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. But I think we just fuck with each other so much that it was like, okay, we're going to figure this out. Because I can't stop talking to you. But at the end, I was just like, nigga, you're not giving me the energy I need. So yeah. I got to walk away.
I think that's probably the worst thing you can do is figure it out in the beginning. Like, if it ain't figured out in the beginning, like, peace. It should be like that. It's hard, though.
It is. It's so hard.
Because niggas don't never want to just walk away.
But I'm the type of person. Fight. That's the thing, though. I think he said I was, like, very overwhelming in a way because I'm one of them people that feel like, man, show me who the fuck you are day one.
Mm.
I don't give a shit about none of that facade stuff. I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, I do this. It ain't even for me. We got to connect and we got to align. I need both. I need the connection and I need the alignment. So when I'm asking upfront questions, niggas be like, this a lot. No, nigga, grow the fuck up. You a grown ass man. Mm. And at the end of the day, you should know what you want in out of a situation. I'm not even saying out of a person. But you know what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And if you don't know, you need to figure that the fuck out. Because otherwise, you're wasting time. I don't want to catch feelings and we don't align. Because now we got the connection and not the alignment. And now I'm sad as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get out of my face.
No, that's a fact. I mean, 100%. I think, but even like, bro, I don't know how y'all doing it. Dating in your 30s is like disgusting. Like, not disgusting. It's just like, it's just
it
trash.
It is. It's disgusting. It's trash. I hate it.
It's like, just even the thought to have to date in my 30s is like, you know, because as a man, the first thing you think, like, yeah, I'm outside. But then you go inside and you be like, I don't want to go back outside. I want to stay inside.
No, for sure, because it's comforting. There's love there. And at the end of the day, it's security, it's stability. And that's what you start to feel like you need when you get older. Like, right. When you young, it's like, I can bounce off the wall and there ain't shit going to happen. Resilient as fuck. But when you older, them motherfucking knees get the buckling, them elbows hurting, sit your ass down.
Man, you get the hearing, you can hear bones crack when you get up. You're like, whoa, bro.
Hey,
like, what happens going on?
And that be the thing. I need somebody to rub my back, my feet.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I get it. And honestly, I think for men, I think that men be missing that. Like, that disconnect be there for y'all. Because it be like, the ratio always gets y'all. Like, y'all always be like, it's more women out here, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you can have 5 women, right? And I can have 2 niggas compared to your 5 women. You always got more output than you do input when it comes to dating. And for me, I'm always going to have more input than I do output. Because at the end of the day, if you got 5 bitches, you got 5 bitches you got to take out. 5 bitches you got to spend money on. Mm. If I got 2 niggas, I got 2 niggas that's spending money on me.
Facts.
So the disconnect is y'all niggas need to get y'all shit together. Because you got more to lose.
Yeah, man. I think men definitely have a lot to lose. What I would say is I think men just got to do a better job with setting their own boundaries, but not just setting them, but enforcing their boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, and it comes with, like, loving yourself. But a lot of times, yeah, we don't even know what that looked like, to be honest.
That's true.
Right? So it's like, I feel like the moment you can really love yourself, you can truly put yourself first and enforce the boundaries that you have. You get what I'm trying to say? I feel like the moment you don't enforce your boundaries, then it's pointless to have them. So,
for sure.
And the best way to have self-love is to enforce your boundaries. That's just my opinion.
I agree. Somebody told me that boundaries are the meeting point as to where I can love you and love myself.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm like, ooh.
That's real.
Okay.
Yeah, because then think about it. If you don't have boundaries, how can I truly love you, mm-hmm, for who you are if I don't have boundaries with myself? Because unconsciously, I'm going to treat you how I treat myself.
I was just about to say that, yeah. Because if I'm doing anything to myself, best believe I'm doing anything to you.
Yeah. And another thing, I think, not to like get on a soapbox here, I think just understanding what do we like, mm-hmm, right? I feel like sometimes we fall in love with this idea of a person instead of the person themselves, right? Like, think about it. If you don't like somebody that's, I don't know, friendly,
mm-hmm,
but you meet me and, I don't know, my friendliness was the thing that swept you off your feet,
yeah,
you got to go back home and look yourself in the mirror and be like, yo, I know I don't like this.
Yep.
So just because I was friendly in the moment and you liked it at that moment, guess what? 3 years from now, I'm still going to be friendly, and I'm going to be friendly to somebody else, and you're going to like it.
But you also got to understand, that's one thing, because I always say a lot of people will love things about me for them, but mm-hmm, they will hate it for other people.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things.
Same reason they love you, be the same reason they hate you.
Exactly. Like, you love that I'm a nurturer. You love that I'm a giver. You love that I take care of people. You can call. I'm one call away. I'm going to show up. I show up and support regardless.
Everybody.
You're going to love that for yourself, but when I do it for other people, you're like, why are you always showing up for them? Why are you always doing for them? They don't ever do for you. And it's like, that's just who I am. That's my nature.
Mm.
But I will say one thing, though. People grow and people change over time. And so with that, I think that what it is people don't look intrinsically. Like, we don't look inside of ourselves and see, why don't I like this?
Mm.
Why do I like this?
Why does that bother me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it about me what does somebody else's action has to do with me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why does that make me feel some type of way? Because then it's like, if I look at it and I do the work on what... Because honestly, other people's actions really shouldn't even bother you that much.
Mm.
So when other people's actions bother you so much, you got to look at why.
Mm.
What is it within your past? What is it within yourself or your current situation that has made you feel that way? Why? And so that's one big thing for me. Like, I'm working on, like, why do I like niggas that's not nice? And it's not even that. I think it's because I am a social butterfly in a way, right? And so sometimes it's that yin and that yang. And so it's like, I'm friendly. Like I said, I'm loving. I take care of people. And so we both can't be doing it.
Because
you got to be able to hold it down the fort. Because somebody will ask me for $1,000, I'm going to give it to them. But you got to have $1,000 to make sure we good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but then it's also the thing of, I think, because I'm very social and I talk to a lot of people. I don't mind the fact that, I like the fact that, like, when a dude is just, like, quiet.
Mm.
When he does talk, it's like, you gotta listen.
Mm.
You don't have a choice. Like,
yeah.
And so, or even like when I date somebody, if they're not usually like a friendly, smiley person, when they do smile, I'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, I made you happy. You know what I mean? It just brings
kinda
a
like
different
that balance.
Energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
do you, is it the same way with like the career? Does they have to be kind of like the opposite? Like, you very entrepreneur, you a dreamer, you got music goes, like, does he have to be like 9 to 5, suit and tie, like the opposite?
No.
Because you you date somebody in your field? Like, because you date a rapper? Or
I
a
have. That.
Okay, sure.
I have. Honestly, I feel like I thought that dating people in this field would mean that we understand each other, we relate. And we do. But I think that it depends on the person. Because I've been in one situation with, you know, one person, and it's like, they're not supportive at all.
Mm.
Like, they're like...
An artist?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And they're like, well, for you, it's like, you're the separation. Like, when I see you, I don't see you as an artist. I see you as my person. And so as my person, I don't want to talk about music.
Wow.
That's business.
Yeah.
And so they've separated that wholeheartedly. But I'm like, okay, but I'm an artist too.
Were they like successful? Because I could kind of see that though.
They're in a good position.
Were they more successful than you?
Yes.
I can see that. Like, because I'm kind of similar. Like,
mm-hmm.
I rarely talk about podcasting, like, if to my woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless I'm, like, frustrated or, like, I got an idea. But I don't know, because then you ask somebody else, she might say something different. I don't know. But in my mind, it's like, I'm not trying to, I don't, like,
I get that. But I think that it's different, though, because imagine if, all right, because I feel like it might be opposite, and I'm going to say this because when you were in your situation, you y'all did podcasting together.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, eh, you agree, but you don't agree, because you incorporated the business with your relationship.
I mean, that's
And I guess that's a lesson learned for you, because it's like, nah, I ain't doing that no more. But for me, I think it was more so like, it'll be things like this. You know, an event is coming up or something you got an invite to. I maybe didn't get the invite because you in a higher position than me, right? But you know it's a place that I should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's somewhere that I should be. You could bring me with you. For sure. I don't necessarily have to be your plus one, or I can be your plus one. It's up to you. Or you can just tell me about it and be like, show up and pull up because you need to be in the room. Never receiving that type of support.
If we're
is kinda
dating,
like,
or you're my woman, which one?
Both? I'm your woman. Because this is the thing. I feel like this is how it goes. Like, my success is your success. If we going to have a future together, mm-hmm. right? And in his head, he's warping down. We were going to have a future together. Like, we were end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I said, no, we're not, because you don't support me. That doesn't make sense to me. So if you really wanted a future with me, my success is your success and your success is my success. So when you're growing and you find ways for me to grow, you should also pour into me and say, hey, this is a way for you to grow.
Mm.
But when you're not doing that and you're just like, you go ahead and stay stagnant, or you figure out your own shit, I figured out some shit for me and I'm going to grow, that's selfish.
Mm.
And therefore, it's no way for us to be a team. So there's no future here.
I mean, I understand that wholeheartedly. I agree. I do want to try to give another perspective.
Yeah.
Because I do agree. What if, like, we have too much expectations on these relationships?
Mm.
Like, what if we should just show up being holding ourselves down? And when it comes to relationship things, that's what we show up for each other.
I respect that if that's a conversation that you have. Mm. If that's a conversation that we have and we establish that from the beginning and we say that that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Mm.
But if I express to you numerous times that I want your support and I need your support and I need that from you, then clearly we're not on the, I don't need that. That's not what I want in a relationship.
I'm 100%. Like, I get it.
And you know what? And again, I've also dated somebody else who also is in a better position than me musically. And I mean, both these people only do music full time, so they ain't in a better position. Period. Mm-hmm. But, you know, more known, whatever. And they were very much on point in terms of like giving me feedback, you know, like even if it's a part of, because even the previous person who wasn't supportive, there was no feedback towards like music. Like, it wasn't a thing of whether I like it or not. Like, I would never hear nothing. And it's just like, I would send you stuff and it's like, okay. Or I'm, you know what I mean? I want your feedback. Clearly you're in a better position than me. I want to, you know, you know, and I've had the opposite of that where it's like, okay, well, what about, you know, I heard about this opportunity. You should do this. Or I think you should try this. So giving me ideas and stuff to help me grow. So I've experienced it twofold.
Mm.
I think that, of course, you got to do what works for you. And if it doesn't, if what they offer isn't what you need, it's just time to bounce.
Mm.
But also, you can't tell me that you want to be with me and I'm the person that you want to be with and you don't want to leave, but you don't want to give me what I need.
Right.
If you don't want to give me what I need, then why do you want to be here?
Mm.
And if you do want to be here so damn bad, you should be giving me what the fuck I need.
Nah, facts. Yo, that made me think, because you talking about how you had the two relationships with guys in the industry or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was your platonic relationships with, like, your working relationships with guys? Because, I mean, like, you're not ugly, right? So, like, and you're a woman, we hear that. I don't know. You got to be careful. I be trying to be careful. I don't know.
Like, you're attractive. You can say you're attractive.
Listen, man. So... How is the working relationship with men? Because I hear so many women that work in the industry that do music, not even just music, right? Like, they probably do media, things like that. They say they have a hard time working with other guys because all they want to do is try to, like, flirt with them or throw passes at them.
Yep.
And they want to keep it strictly work. How is it for you?
For the most part, the same. It's been, I'll have, like, situations where I'll meet somebody and I'll think like, okay, we you know, like, we'll meet off of music shit. Clearly, I'm a music artist. We in music settings. We've introduced ourselves, all that. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, we should connect. Okay, cool.
Mm.
And then it'll be like, yeah, so you should pull up to, nigga, no.
Mm.
And it's always a, oh, well, you should pull up to such and such. And I've had a situation where, like, a nigga be like, you should pull up to the studio. I'm like, all
right,
bet.
Right.
And this nigga was like, on. Mm. So I'm like, okay, lit, cool, let me see. I sat in the studio. He recorded, we listened to different music, da da da. Everything was cool. And I'm like, all right, cool. We end up, you know, chatting every now and again. He was real cool. Like, And then out of nowhere, he was just like, yeah, you so you should come over to my house. And I was like, for what? And he was like, and he was basically like, he was like, he didn't want to say it. But then I was like, no, first of all, we grown. So if you looking for something, say it so I can decline. And if not, then, you know, and he was like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, no.
So wait, all right, let me ask you this then. Because, again, it's still men and women we dealing with, right? Yeah. So if you meet somebody, what if they are, like, very upfront or intentional with, like, what they want? Like let's say instead of them inviting you to a studio session, they ask you on a date. Is it a different dynamic then?
It is. So for me, I won't turn business into pleasure.
Okay.
But I will turn pleasure into business.
I like that.
So, yeah, I'm about to say, so if we're dating, of course, I feel like if you go into a relationship, for me, partnership looks like, you know, marriage is a business. Yeah. So it's like, I will turn that into business. We can get money together. Yeah. But if we getting money, we need to keep getting money. I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm going to lose out on money because pussy is out here. It's bitches out here. Go get that shit. And the more money you get, the more bitches you can get. Mm. So why are you worried about me? I just feel like, let's get some money. Mm-hmm. If we can get some money, I can bring you the bitches. For real, for real. You don't need me.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't be fucking these niggas anyway. So it's like, why are you even clocking? Like, don't even, this shit is very.
Clink, clink. What
I'm
clink,
an old clink. Lady. Like, leave me alone.
No, I get it. I was just wondering because I be thinking like, maybe it's the guys that just try to finesse instead of like, because if we meet at an event or whatever, just because I'm a producer or a rapper don't mean I'm trying to connect with, like, bro. Like, even, like, when I was single, I was, like, well, before I got my relationship, like, when I was, like, 25, right? Like, I ain't like the bro word. Like, bro, don't call me bro. Girl, I will fuck you. Like, but like, bro, I'm just being dead ass. Like,
but she called you bro on purpose. She don't want to fuck you.
Yeah, I guess.
Accept
mean,
it.
You'd be surprised, because sometimes they call you bro, and then you'd be like.
This is true. I have heard that women be doing that shit.
It's disgusting, but whatever. I'm saying, like, don't call me bro. So. So anyway,
if I call you bro, I do not want to fuck you. Never want to fuck you. Never will fuck you. You're bro.
Okay. Hey, that's what they say. The next thing you know,
I'm just
bro
saying
is,
for me. I can't speak for everybody else.
The next thing you know, bro is turning into Domino's calling your phone. Like, I'm just, but all right. So no. All right. So I think, like, just because if we're in the same industry and we meet, don't mean we got to connect on business.
For sure, we don't.
But if as long as I'm not on no shady, like, trying to finesse, like, yo, pull up to the studio because I know that you're going to expect me to give you an opportunity, then I can see how that. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, you're misleading me.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up say what you want.
But that happens a lot. Well, sometimes it'll be a thing of, like, people be like, oh, I want to work with you, da-da-da, I heard, you know, I seen this. And you be like, all right, bet. You give them your number. The text message be something totally different.
The finesse text.
I be like, what the fuck? So I stop giving people my number now. Whenever people DM me or whenever I connect with somebody, I give them my email. Because I feel like it's business. If you seriously trying to do some business, you're going to email me anyway. Because you want a paper trail of shit. So if you're not emailing me and you're not on no business, you're going to be like, well, what's your number? And I'm like, I don't give my number to people. And then if you feel some type of way, then right. We ain't working anyway.
This off topic. It's not, but is it? So the email shit is so clear. So I talked to my homie, right? And he like, I guess like he be out and like a girl try to holler at him. And instead of like giving him his number, he'd be like, take my email.
Mm-hmm.
What you think about that? On some like, not on no like
if
business.
A nigga,
but, like,
first of all, I'm not trying to talk to no nigga, so I don't know.
Oh my. So wait, you don't shoot your shot?
No. Not like
what
that.
What the world I don't, come to?
No, it's not that. I used to be, let me tell you, when I was younger, I used to be a go-getter. You cute. What's your number? But now, I'm a lady. Like, this is the thing. I'll make it clear, though. Like, I'll give you, like, I'll eye you. I'll smile, like, head nod, whatever.
What is that?
But I'm not.
I hear what girls do that, like, it's obvious. Like, look, it's women out here that's happy. Like, girls are just smiling because they
it
happy.
It is. And so then you can approach me and say, you're beautiful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're handsome, too. If you compliment me, if I want you, I'm going to compliment you back. If I don't want you, I'm not complimenting you back. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I like that. You told, that's game. Okay. I like
it's
that.
It's a little something.
Okay.
You know, if I like what I see, I'm going to let you know I like what I see, too.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. So you was going with the email. You was like, if.
If a nigga gave me his email, I'm going to say, oh, well, what do you do? What's the business that we're conducting? Because it's no way that you giving me your email on no, I'm trying to talk to you type shit. You're not about to be my nigga off of email.
So That's not fair. I thought it was cool because it's different. Like,
it's player if you handling business, but if you talking about getting bitches, no, that's not player at all. Nigga, I don't want to fuck nobody that gave me their email.
And it could be like a flex tool because it's depending on where you work at. If you get somebody like, I don't know if it say like, what's a good ass job, like at apple.com or something. You're like,
what you do for Apple? Nigga, you a janitor. Fuck out of here. I don't hear that. No, I don't want no email. Tell me through text what you do.
Okay. Yo, what about that then? We on this relationship shit, but we ain't gonna stay on this too long. I've been hearing that women don't like to be asked what they do. That's the weirdest thing ever. Like, what you do for a living? Like,
I don't know why people. I thought that was men that didn't like that.
I thought it was just a regular conversation.
It is, but I think that because people are so fucking vain, people have turned it into like a money thing, where it's like, I can determine how much money you make by what your job is. So now people don't want to answer that question. They like, because your intentions aren't pure.
I just thought that was a part of getting to know somebody. Like, what you
it do? Is. Like, what do you do? Do you fucking enjoy what you do? Like, you wake up every day and go to work. Do you love it? Mm. Or do you hate it? Mm. If you come home to me, are you going to be pissed the fuck off every day? Or
Okay, so summing all this up, right? Mm-hmm. We get back to the music. You're making music on how you feel at that moment. Mm. But even in moments when you might be dating or happy in a relationship, it's not always good.
It's not. Don't worry, Volume 2 is coming out with the songs where I'm not feeling good.
How does that ever affect the relationship?
Coming out with music?
Like, yeah, let's say, I don't know, you come out with some like, fuck niggas, mm-hmm. get money, but you're in a relationship, like.
I don't know, I ain't been in a relationship for real.
Or dating. Does it like, yo, like.
Or, it depends on the person, because you know what, I've dealt with people who are excited for me. You know what I mean? And so they be like, oh, that's fire, I'm gonna promote it. And then, you know, they're the people who I've dealt with who aren't supportive, so it's like, they don't really care what's going on. They don't even know what the fuck going on. They probably ain't even listen to it.
Okay, so it was a time where you were trying to do rap.
Yes.
You good at rap.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You say trying to do, like, nigga, you were struggling.
No. I say trying because I remember, like, talking to you and you were like, I want to focus on this.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but I feel like it was because people were saying because you were good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you really wanted to, but I feel like it was because of the reaction you was getting out of people. Yeah.
So initially, like when I first started rapping, it was because, all right, so I'll say this, like, I think that music is art, it's a form of expression. And for me, I think you express what you feel and what you're going through, all the things, that's where I was. So when I was writing, you know, some years ago, a lot of the shit that I was writing, people was like, don't nobody want to hear you sing this? Like, this is some hard shit. Like, you know, this ain't enticing. So my music wasn't doing well. And then one of the producers I was working with was like, hey, Nay, you should rap. He was like, because the way you write like a rapper. Mm. And he was like, you always saying hard shit. And I was like, I'm just a hard bitch. Like, but I sing, though. I can sing. Mm. And he was like, but just try to rap it. So I did. And when I did, it just brought me opportunities. And I was like, okay, maybe I am supposed to rap. But then as I started doing it, I really enjoyed it, honestly. Rap was like the fun side of me. Like, I was having so much fun rapping, it made no fucking sense. I was just, like, it's a turn-up space. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was fun. And I enjoyed it, so I'm not going to knock it. I do enjoy rapping, but honestly, I'm one of the people that, like, when I listen to rap, I want to hear, like, double entendres and bars and shit that be like, damn. Yeah. And the thing is, I got a dope flow. Like, I feel like I'm a slick talker, so it's cool. But when it comes to, like, bars, I don't feel like I hit on that shit too hard. So it's like, this ain't really me, but it's me because it's just, like, this how I write. Mm. But, so when I started rapping, yeah, I got good feedback. Like, people would, like, all the niggas hated it. The girls loved it. They was like, oh, my God. Shit turned, and I'm like, bitches just want to be ratchet.
Yeah. And girls so be right for sure.
It was that. We had a good time with it. And honestly, it's not over because I just released, I want to say, was it the end of the year? Some months ago, I released this song called Buzz Down. And that shit was fire. I'm about to say, and it's still fire. It's a dope ass song. It's lit. So I ain't going to sit here and make it seem like rap is over. It's probably not. But right now, I'm in my R&B bag just because I'm in my feels. Mm. And that's just my vibe.
I was going to ask you, does it get hard? Because, like, even for me, sometimes it get hard to produce content that you genuinely want to do versus not wasting my goddamn time and doing something that the people want to hear and see so I can get this money and grow further. Like, I feel like I be getting conflicted from that, and that get hard sometimes.
Well, see, this is the thing. I think the difference in that for me is, like, you are strictly content. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's always going to be a conflict because that's that. For me, for music, the conflict for me is actually doing the content. Mm. Because as a music artist, I just want to make music. I just want to write. I want to record. I want to perform. I want people to feel it. But unfortunately, you don't get exposure unless you do content.
But I'm saying making the music, though. Like you said, like, you was getting, it was a time where you probably wasn't getting the reaction you wanted from the songs.
For
you
sure.
started rapping, and even if it wasn't from the men, you was getting a reaction.
Yeah.
Now it was like, all right, let me do this because I'm getting a reaction.
Yeah.
Do you feel that at all? Or now, have you gotten to the place where, like, you know what? Even if I don't get a reaction, I'm going to just keep working until I do? Or, like, I'm scrapping this and I'm going to do something that's going to get these people over
For me, it's about balance. It's a combination of both. So, throughout the time being, like, even if I am rapping and I don't necessarily want to, I'm always write the shit that I feel, what I like or what I, like, I got to like it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to turn into, but on the back end, I'm still going to do the R&B, the shit that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going to not be doing what I love. I'm going to do what I love. And sometimes you do got to do it for the audience and it's just like, cool. But when I do it for the audience, I got to make sure that I still like it though. Because I still got to perform it. I still got to be the person that does it. If I don't, and it's just like, I just feel like I'm going to be like unhappy with it.
Yeah.
And I'm all about doing what's true to me.
Yeah, let me ask you something. I feel like one thing that I had to learn, and I'm still learning, is it's so many people out here who are successful at what they do, but aren't the most known. Are you okay with being an artist that might not be known, but you getting the money behind your music and you can be able to pay your bills?
Yes and no.
Mm.
For myself, yes, but for the world, no.
Mm.
And I say that because my goals or the things that I want to accomplish, the things that I want to do, aren't necessarily for me.
Mm.
They're bigger than me. And so because it's bigger than me, I feel like I need to be bigger than me.
Mm.
Like, you know, and then I've always, you know, they say shoot for the moon, land them on the stars.
Mm.
So for me, it's kind of that thing. It's like, if you ain't trying to be Beyonce, who the fuck you trying to be?
Mm-hmm.
You could try to be Beyonce and end up somebody else, you know? And so that's kind of where I am. But I also recognize that, like, I'm not in the business or in the game of playing the fucking rich Olympics.
Mm.
I don't give a fuck about luxury Olympics. Like, luxury to me is the fact that I wake up every day and I don't have to punch in a clock. I don't have to go to work, you know? And I know that a lot of people, and luxury for some people is that they do. Like, they enjoy that. But right now, the luxury for me is that I get to wake up and do whatever my heart desires. And that's important to me. That's more important to me than any designer bag, than any, you know, shoe, than any big name. And honestly, I'm not even a fashion girl, so that shit don't even matter to me. But for me, it's like, if I can get up, I can, I enjoy small things. And like, I enjoy being able to, like, cook. Like, I can cook at any time of day. I like the fact that, that's why, like, the idea of, like, a stay-at-home mom kind of, like, entices me a bit. Because it's like, I want to go to the grocery store every day and start dinner. I want fresh foods. But
y'all say y'all be wanting shit, and then you get it, and then.
No, we do. I think that, and see, I think that we do want that. Or some women, like for myself, I do feel like that is a thing that I would do. But I also want to have a break. I also want to feel loved. I want to feel like, you know, like this is my constant. It's just like you go to work every day. You don't, and most people work 5 days a week. As a stay-at-home mom, I'm working 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I would like to have 2 days to myself or 2 days off. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's still a job. It just, it doesn't pay you financially, but in a way, you know, it pays you in other ways. And so it's a love to it, and it's the energy behind it. I just think that it comes with concessions, and everything is about balance in life. I think that we forget that. A lot of times we go one way and we like, we're stuck here, or we go this way and we're stuck here. But it's like, really, you got to have some type of balance. It's needed.
No, for sure. I feel like we got to be able to communicate that too. Like, I feel like people be wanting shit until they get it, and then they get it, and they be like, all of a sudden, they off it. And it's like, bro, that's not how life works. That's not how people work.
No, I agree. Let me tell you something. Oh, my God. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I feel like people make rush decisions, and they jump into things thinking like, oh, this will be ideal, and I'm cool with this. And then it's like, I tried it, don't like it, and then they hop out.
Like, bro, don't play with me like that.
And you can't do that.
With people. Because
commitment is a commitment.
Yeah.
And my thing is, but that's, for me, that's where, like you said, communication comes in. Because I can say, all right, cool, we can try this for a year. And then after 6 months, if I'm like, I don't like this shit, I can't leave at 6 months. I got to finish the year out. And then we're going to reevaluate after that year. Like, all right, cool. The year's up. I'm done with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's reasonable. But I don't think that people really put time frames on things. People say, oh, I can do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it. You get in and try it. And then it's like, this ain't for me. Okay, but you committed to doing it. So you need to follow through and finish it up. And I think that a lot of people just are too selfish to commit to things. And that is my issue in relationships, honestly. I'm a commitment person. Like, I'm like, when I'm locked in, clank, clank, nigga. Mm. Like, but, and if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't give a fuck if that shit killed me. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Nah, that's facts. That's dope. I want to ask you something. I want to go back home for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shelly came out here. Shelly the MC.
Mm-hmm.
She came out here for a while.
Yeah.
And I think, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I think she made a vlog about how she actually been wanting to go back home.
Yeah.
Right? But I think she didn't want to seem like she was a failure. Mm. So she stayed out here longer than she wanted to.
Yeah.
And then she went back home and I think she was saying she felt good. But like you had not a similar situation as far as reason, mm-hmm. but you came out here and I think you went back.
Mm-hmm.
And are you back down here now or?
I am.
What was how was your experience? Like, what made you go back?
Well, see, I think that everybody got different situations. Like, mm-hmm. for her, I think she had a lot going on emotionally and mentally that made her need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's okay. Like, I feel like the world is just so fucking judgy. Like, you worried about what everybody else doing. Like I said, if you worried about what other people doing, if it's bothering you, you really need to look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, it's not even about failing because you only fail when you quit.
Mm.
Like, at the end of the day, while you still playing it, it's just like playing basketball. Nigga, if we playing, you could be up 60-2. But if we playing, I ain't lost yet. Mm. And if the game don't end, I ain't lost yet. The game don't end till it's over. And if we don't have a fucking clock on this bitch, I can always come back. Mm. I don't care. So for me, it's like, I don't never really feel like the whole failure thing. And then it's always like goals in place. So if I accomplished this thing that I had in place, I didn't fail. I reached a goal. But for me, in terms of going back, so I'm a single mom and I've had, you know, my son, you know, I had him young. So I've always had, you know, him as my priority. When I came out here the first time, he was with me.
Mm.
But when he came, I realized that this just wasn't the environment for him.
Mm.
And I was like, hell nah, I'm not going to subject my son to this. So we went back home. Then when we were at home, I was like, all right, I'm trying to see, you know, how I can balance the two. I was flying back and forth so often that it was like, this is, you know, I know I need to be down here. There's so many connections that I'm making, but I couldn't do it alone. So then my family, my sister stepped up and was like, oh, you should go down there and, you know, I'll keep them. So I was like, all right, bet, like love. Because honestly, I think that a lot of people don't look at or understand the fact that like, if you look at any woman in the industry that had children before fame, they didn't raise their kids. Like, they weren't able to chase their dreams and have their kids on their hip.
Mm.
And for me, having my son on my hip all the time, it was no way for me to, you know what I mean? Like, even when I was back home, when I have shows, my son would be at my shows.
Mm.
Like, he gonna be backstage. If he's allowed in the general population, he gonna be there. He'd be standing front row singing the songs. Like, my son is always, when I was in the studio, he was in the studio with me. Like, he hated it. He would fall asleep in the studio. Like, but it's hard to maneuver, you know, and then if I get a call, like, you need to be at such and such, then I got to figure out, can somebody get him? I got to go drop him off. I got to go out of my way. Now I'm late or I'm not able to, I missed the opportunity.
Mm.
So it was just like, my sister was like, I do see when you were down there that you were actually moving and shaking. So let me try to step in. It didn't work out to the best, it wasn't the best situation. So I ended up coming back home because I was like, all right, I got to make sure my kid is straight. That's the priority to me, regardless of anything. So I end up coming back again and, you know, just kind of figuring it out. So I've just been maneuvering. So for me, it's really back and forth. So, like, I still have my spot back in D.C., and then now I'm out here. So it's like, when I need to go back, I'm back. When I don't, I don't. Mm. And, you know, I'm just maneuver.
How was that, like, navigating that career with having a child? And, like, because, like, at the same time, you're trying to do what's best for you, but mm-hmm. you're also trying to do what's best for your kid. And it's like, man, that's tough.
It's it is tough. But I feel like for me, again, like I say, life's about balance. But also because I have my son young, he's a little older now. So it's like just having those conversations and that communication and telling him, you know, what I'm trying to do, what I'm working on. It creates a different level of respect. We also have a really close relationship. So when we talk, you know, he'll be like, we played a game one time. It's actually like a couple's game.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
time. Mm-hmm. But it was like those things where you like, tell me a moment, like something I need to work on, stuff like that. And so we have those conversations just because I feel like as an adult, he needs to grow into understanding like how to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one time, one of the questions asked, like, tell me, what's something I've done that made you proud? And he was like, when you went to Atlanta to, you know, work on your music and wow. that shit, I was like, I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
somebody gets it.
I thought the distance, you know, for me, honestly, the distance is hard. Because like I said, we grew up together. So it was like, this is my bestie. Like, we locked in. So it's like, us not being with each other, a lot of times, I'm about to cry. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I really, really love my kid.
Sorry, girl, take your time.
But like the distance sometimes really be like eating me because I really, I want to be around him. But also I know like he can't be a part of every situation. So it was like, all right, I got to find that balance. But us having that relationship and being able to talk about it, have those conversations, that, I mean, it means the world to me. So we, you know, it's hard navigating it. And then also it's like financially, I'm taking care of him financially on my own. Like I don't have assistance. I don't have help. So it's like to fund him and all the things he wants to do, because I'm not going to stifle him and be like, oh, you can't do that. Nah. Like, as a parent, when you decide to have a kid, for me, he didn't ask to be here. And honestly, my son tell me all the time, you was tripping. I don't know why you had me that young. You're crazy. He like, he tell me, I would never do that. Like, you're bugging. You definitely should have gotten an abortion. But for me, I'm just like, he didn't ask to be here. I kept him. I made the decision. So I make the sacrifice. So I got to, you know, even though I have goals and dreams, I got to figure out how to do it. And I got to figure out how to provide for him and make sure he's good, too.
And doing that and balancing it, right? What is your biggest fear of, like, motherhood and the relationship with your son?
I don't really have a fear in terms of our relationship because I feel solid as fuck with my son.
That's good.
I'm about to say, like, even, you know,
as a parent, what's your biggest fear?
As my biggest fear as a parent is something happening to him and I can't protect him. I'm not there. I think that's why the distance eats at me, you know. Even I want to say last week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago, he had like a health scare. I mean, it wasn't deep, and initially I didn't think it was deep, but because other people who are around aren't used to it, like I'm used to it, their reaction was big. So it made my reaction big, and I panicked, and I'm crying, and I'm about to shit myself because I'm like, he in the ambulance, and he going to the hospital, and I'm like, I'm not there. So that in itself is like something happening to him and I'm not being there to protect him. Like, you know, you seen the Waist Deep and in the movie she was saying how her son went outside to play and then he got shot and he died. That shit is crazy to me. Like, I'm the mom that's like, if my son is outside, I'm outside. So it's like, and I try not to hover. And now that he's older, he be telling me like, Mom, you can't. You got to get me. And so I do. I'm creating that balance. But that's the biggest thing for me. Like, something happening to him and I'm not there to stop it.
Now, I ask that because, like, me growing up, my mom's, like, she did the best that she could. But at the end of the day, like, when it came to me maturing as an adult, she wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't because she didn't want to. It's just she had to make sure I was good, and she couldn't always be in the spaces where I was at, right? She had to choose. And she chose for me to have a career, right? She might sleep on the street. We don't know, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we can't change my experience. And my experience was I had to grow up, for the most part, into my adulthood by myself. You know what I'm trying to say? And I was wondering because, like, yeah, like, y'all have a great relationship. But do you have a fear that y'all might not be as tight later on down the line?
I don't. I don't have that fear. Because my son knows I'll drop anything and come running to him. Like, it don't matter what's going on. I don't give a fuck how much it costs. It's gonna happen. He knows, you know, and vice versa. And if anything, I will bring him to me. You know what I mean? Like, I've anything for him. My mom asked me, so even right now, like, my son is in Cali. And so he's there for the school year. He, you know, got an opportunity to go out there. He's in Calabasas. So he's in, like, one of the richest areas. And he's, like, living his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air life. He's happy. And so we talked about it. I'm like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing. You know, so I'm back and forth between, you know, Atlanta, D.C., Cali. I'm going to, you know, manage that. And so I was talking to my mom, and she was just like, because honestly, same thing. Like, with my mom, it's like the distance there. We're actually closer now that I'm an adult than I was when I was a kid. My mom was just like, so, you know, we was talking, and my son was like, I want to stay. And my mother was like, so what you going to do if he want to stay? I said, I guess I'll look to move into Cali. If I got to get a job out there, then I'll figure that out. And my mom was like, you do anything for that boy. And I'm like, you damn right. I sure will. whatever he want in life, I'm going to show up and I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. And I'm about to say, and I've, again, because he didn't ask to be here. I wanted him.
Right.
So I just feel like I got to go out of my way. And I know that sometimes it looks a little crazy. And, you know, but I want, if he don't got nobody, he got me.
Yeah.
You know, and if I don't got nobody, I got him.
No, that's true. Somebody had asked me just this weekend, said, yo, what would you do if the mother of your child decides to move back? And I'm like, questions, like, you don't even have that. Like, you're not even prepared for that, mm-hmm. to have the answer. And it's like, man, I don't know. I probably would have to get, like, I would have to find a companion pass. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I have no clue because I'm not going to not be in my child's life. Yeah. Like, that's not even an option. But it's like, shit. Like,
it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, but that's also why I'm big on, like, keeping the family together, because I'm like, those things can happen. And it sucks because it's like, and I think we had that conversation before years ago when we talked about, like, marriage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit like that can happen. And it's such a, it's so disheartening, and it's such a stress on the kids.
Mm.
And so for me, it's like, man, I just got to figure it out. Like, but like you said, get a buddy pass. Like, that's what I'm doing. Like, even now, like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, just the flight situation. I'd be coming out of pocket. I'm just paying for that shit. My friend was like, why you don't have a damn a little membership somewhere?
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to at this point, because as much as I fly, I do need to.
Yeah, that's, yo, kids, it's just, that's a tricky thing, bro.
Yeah.
And then, like, especially when you're chasing your dream, it's like, if it came down to it, would you give it all up just to support your child?
I would. And the weird thing is, as much as this quote, it was like, find somebody that you love so much that you would give it all up for, but they love you so much they would never let you.
Facts.
And so it's kind of the same thing. Like, my son knows, like, if need be, I would, but he would never be like, mommy, I want you to drop it. And even, like, if I made a comment, like, I'm done with that, he'd be like, why? Like, he don't play. He like, but you love it. Like, you happy. That's what you do. So my son is very much, like, supportive. He like, you got to do it. And also helps that, like, he gets to be cool. Like, everybody else, like, especially back in D.C., like, he in school, his friends be like, oh, I saw your mama on the radar. And he be like, you ain't tell me you was on there? Like, now he like, yeah. He was like, I thought it was really cool. I could Google you.
Yeah,
and
I'm cool.
Like, okay.
Nah, that's
so
cool.
It helps that he, you know, he feels cool. Like, I got a cool mom. But nah, also, you know, it's the passion. Like, he's just like, he's been in the studios with me. He's been to my shows. So he's like, I've seen you perform. Like, for you not to perform no more kind of sounds crazy to me.
No, that's cool as hell. Yo, how long you been doing music now?
Ooh, I want to say like seven, eight years.
How do you measure your success? Where would you say you are in your career?
I don't know, man. Success looks so different. So I guess, I don't know how to...
Up until this point, like, how would you measure your career? Like, what would you say your success is? How would you, I don't know, like...
Determine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like for me, like, I just look at growth, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I look at where I've come from and where I am. And that can be looked at from, like, just looking at my YouTube, right? Like, if you look at YouTube, you'll see me, you know, old videos where it's like, okay, clearly I didn't know what I was doing. Or, like, you know, just even the songs. The songs have elevated. So for me, like, the growth in music in itself is one thing.
I like that. That's a good measurement.
But then also, and that's why I don't take that stuff down. Like, even though I feel like I'll listen to old music, like, it's still on my library. So, like, it comes up and it plays, and I'll be like, ah, ear bleed.
It's cringy.
Like, but I don't delete it. I don't take it down because I'm like, I did it. It's growth. And also, when people do come back, they'll be like, oh, girl, that was terrible. It was. But now I'm not. You know what I mean? You see how far I've come. I love growth. Like, that is a big thing for me. Like, I just love growth. So that matters a lot. But successfully being where I want to be, I'm not there yet. I do feel like, you know, the music industry has shifted so much and it's changed so much that I feel like the goalpost is always moving.
Always.
I feel like, I don't know how you even determine success. Like, does it, and that's why I'm like, it's so individualized, because it's like, does it look like $1 million? Does it look like $10 million? Does it look like sponsorships? Does it look like, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you got people who are successful, who people would deem successful, and really they making money for other people. And them people richer than them. And that's fucked up. They doing all the work, right? So then it's like a part of me is kind of like, does success look like being on a label? Or does success look like being independent? Does it look like a certain amount of money? Like, I don't know. I haven't really determined what like the end all be all where it's like, oh, I'm successful. But for me, it's like every day I wake up trying to do better, trying to be better. And to me, it's just the growth.
Do you ever get discouraged, like saying like, man, I've been doing this for so long and I see people come in the industry and just pop overnight. Does it ever cross your mind to like, man, I just don't want to do this shit no more?
No, because honestly, I don't know nobody's story. Like we could look at, I can look at like Ice Spice and everybody be like, oh, she's a plant. She came in overnight. I don't know what the fuck Ice Spice was doing before she popped. She could have been doing this shit since she was five. I don't know. And I would never know because I don't know them people. So I'm never really like comparing my success or my story to nobody else's. Also, like I said, being a single mom, I feel like nobody's ever done it being a single mom. So it's like, I already know that this shit is not going to be easy and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to pop the way I would like it to immediately. But also I think about me like on the road. When I drive, when I look at my GPS, if I'm going somewhere, if that shit say it's traffic here, but it's the quickest route. And I just tweeted this the other day. When I look at GPS, if that shit say it's 10 minutes worth of traffic, but it's a 20-minute drive. But then I look at this route and this joint say 30 minutes and it's no traffic. I'm going to 30 minutes. I'm not going where it's jam-packed. I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. I don't need to. I'm trying to get the way I'm going. I want to do it in a smooth way where I feel comfortable, where I feel safe. You know, so I don't mind taking the long route. That's fine. As long as I'm smooth, I'm safe, and I ain't causing no harm. Nobody causing me no harm. I'm at peace. I'm cool with that.
So it seems like you're pretty cool with. So where does the frustration come when it comes to making music or the business itself?
The frustration for me right now is the, I used to say lack of support, but it ain't even that, because honestly, the people who do support me, they support me. And I fuck with y'all. I love y'all. I think it's, you know, from our area, I feel like it looks like you got to be a certain something in order for people to really be like, oh, yeah, she is. So it's like, it's cool. But then I think that for me, the frustration for me really is the content creation piece. Like, I know that that is the biggest marketing tool right now, right? Like, everybody, social media. But I'm not a person that likes to get in. I'm not vain. So I don't necessarily want to hold a camera to myself and be like, oh, I'm cute. You know, like, or it just doesn't sit well with me to have to hold a camera to myself. Now, if we, you know, in this setup is like, I get to be myself and just genuinely have a conversation. I love that because I flourish. Like, I'm a talker. We can do that. But, you know, like plan stuff or trying to create content that's going to catch people's attention. And I'm purposely trying to get you to tune into me and I'm not being genuine. That's frustrating for me because that's just not who I am. And I've never been in that space where I've never been that person that tries to like get people's attention. It's either going to come or it ain't. And so I know like in the industry right now, like in order to get your analytics, got to be crazy. You know, people got to be tuning into you. You got to be a gimmick. It's got to be, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't have no gimmicks. It's just me.
No, that's real. I think I just made a post about that. Like, I was saying, like, to the people that's coming up, don't really, I know sometimes we say people don't support talent, they support what's popular. And I was saying, like, man, sometimes you gotta go get popular.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you gotta adapt to the situation you're in. That doesn't mean you gotta play the game, because I'm big on that. Like, you don't have to play the game, but you do have to understand that if you don't play the game, it's gonna take you a lot longer.
Yeah.
And you gotta be okay with that if you don't wanna play the game.
Yeah.
But back to the get popular thing, I'm like, yo, if you feel like they don't support talent, they support popularity, then you have to go get popular. Yeah. But you also gotta find a way to get yourself some wins, because people just want to support winners. You get what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
And that just is what it is. Like, I'm not running around supporting somebody that's a loser. Like, I don't want to be I don't want to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's true. I about to say, because even like I posted, I was at the BET Awards on the red carpet or the blue carpet. That's probably the most viewed video I got. People gonna support, like you said, people gonna support a winner. So you gotta find your wins. And so for me, it's like, yeah, I'll show up. Like, I'll do, if I get an invite to something, I'm gonna come be a part of it. I'll take advantage of it because it is a win. You know what I mean? That growth in itself, like, I'll do that. I have no problem with putting in the work to do what I need to do to get to where I wanna be. Like you said, that's why I'm not really stressing it. Like, I know people be like all the time, there's always conversations about like around like DMV music scene and all the stuff. And I don't even entertain them conversations no more because, one, they don't never bring me up. They never mention my name, which is fine.
Is it fine?
It is.
I feel like with the DMV, not that I know of, I don't even hear R&B coming out of DMV.
You don't. You don't.
Yes.
Which is, and that's the funny thing, which is why it's like, that's why I have no dog in that fight, because they don't even be talking about R&B. Yeah. They don't even be, half the time, they're barely talking about women.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it's like, they overlook it anyway.
It's probably about beef or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's overlooked. I'm already overlooked. So it's like, but then also I feel like, I'm also not about to argue with you niggas either.
Mm.
Because you say some shit, back it. Like, I'm not about to get into it with nobody.
Do you wish you had more support from back home?
Absolutely. I mean, I wish I had some more support from anywhere, but definitely back home, because it's just like, I rep home to the fullest. Like, I'm not even gonna, I love my city. I love DC. And, you know, like, whenever I go somewhere, like, if I'm on, like, a big stage, I always do, like, a go-go song or something like that, because I always feel like, I just want people to know, like, DC got it.
How you think they can, like, what's a way that they could better support more up-and-coming artists, I guess, or, like, people like yourself?
I think that, well, see, I think there's a disconnect in terms of what's allowed in D.C. or what we can do. So, like, a big thing in D.C. right now is go-go music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so go-go is just, that's our music. And it's been deemed that. So every venue, every event space, all the things are catered towards go-go, which I love. But there's none that's really catered to upcoming independent artists in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the disconnect there is, they'll be like, well, then y'all should put on y'all own shows. And yes, we would love to. But also, you got to understand that real estate in D.C. is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do any event, to get a venue is expensive.
Mm.
And then it's like, if I don't get the ticket sales, if I don't, you know what I mean? So then they try to compensate in a way where they try to get the artist to pay. And that's not fair, because now I gotta pay in artistry and I gotta pay in money. Like, so a lot of times it just doesn't work, because we don't have the infrastructure in place to necessarily support us.
Mm.
But I think that, you know, it would be nice if they started doing things like, when you do have big name artists coming to town, like, I know that they get to decide who opens up for them and stuff like that, but you also have the venues who can decide who open up for them too.
Mm.
So, like, I know, like, Howard Theater has, like, a manager that, you know, they have, like, a talent manager that'll mm-hmm. do, you know, you can, I don't, if they maybe opened up something for people to apply to open for this person, you know what I mean? You're a good fit to open for Tiana Taylor. You're a good fit to open for Victoria Monet, for Coco Jones, you know? If we had those things in place, but a lot of times what happens is it's through the promoters.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So whoever the promoter is,
they're going to charge the artists and make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of puts a dent in it, where it's like, how do we then get the opportunities to be in front of bigger audiences? How do we, the only opportunity we have right now, like you said, is to get popular.
Yeah.
And if they say you popular, they're like, okay, well, you can sell tickets, so then you can come.
Right. What about, like, because I feel like y'all got this more than we do. Like, the social media blogs, like DMV Hoods and News, that's a big one. I think that's ATL. But it's another one, like DMV, I forgot. I don't know if it's Top. I don't know. It's another one. Mm-hmm. I forgot. But do you think they do a good job at supporting the artists, or they could do better?
I don't know, honestly. So I'll say this. I've seen, but it's the thing. I don't know how that works. So I do understand. I understand business, right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, you know, people build up a following so that they can charge people.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But I feel like you got to figure out what your purpose is and what's your point of it. Like, if you're DMV Hoods and News, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really telling information about the community. And I think that's why they first started. They was like kind of giving us information like, oh, this happened in DC.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, violence, you know, reporting crimes, reporting information for people to have, because it's important that we know as a community what's going on. And then, you know, if we're then saying, okay, I want to add a positive light because there's so much negativity that we're reporting, and now we're going to do some positive things, I respect that. But I think that the intention of how you manage it is, it matters. So I don't really know if they're charging artists to post on their page or anything like that. I really don't know the details, so I can't really speak on it. But if you are promoting artists, I think that that's a great thing, you know, in terms of, like, sometimes I feel like you just got to do shit for the love.
Mm.
But I feel like nobody does stuff for the love anymore these days. Everything is, like, for pay.
Now, like, if it's a look or worth it, if it's worth it, does it matter?
For
like,
sure.
For example, I've heard, again, I don't know because I'm not from D.C.,
mm-hmm.
but I think I've heard it was supposed to be, like, some type of back and forth about the whole On the Radar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess, like, somebody was bringing them to DC and he was charging an artist or something like that.
Yeah. I was privy to.
Oh, so you had to pay for that?
No, I didn't.
But you know about that?
I know about that.
Well,
I didn't have to pay for it, but that, okay, so let me also say this, that a lot of, that's where your network comes in, that's where relationship building comes mm-hmm. in, right? I actually, when I did the On the Radar thing in DC, I wasn't even prepared to do it. I went there to show love because I met them before. I did On the Radar before, and I connected with them. And so when I first came to, you know, we built the relationship, we built rapport. My thing is, I support people. I'm a lover. I'm a nurturer. Like, I'm going to show up for you. If you having something, I'm going to show up for you. That's just what I do. Mm-hmm. So even, like, Gabe had a birthday party maybe, like, a month or so ago in New York. I went to New York and went to his birthday party. Like, I'm going to show up because I fuck with people. Like, if we cool and we connected, you need support, you need love, that's who I am and that's what I do. So when I went to go visit them, honestly, I just went to go show love. And then they was like, you going to get on? And I did. Because, again, I'm putting myself in a position to always take advantage of an opportunity to win. So, no, I didn't. But I do know that, like, same thing, I guess, with, like you said, with bigger platforms, it's like, they have reason to, I guess, to charge people, right? So it's like, if they're sitting here saying, okay, I put this big name artist on here, and I got them exposure, and this is what a part of their press run, and that brings a bigger crowd to us. Now you want to be on the same platform as this artist, you got to pay for it. And so I get that. And I think that that's a little different than blogs, if that makes sense. Because it's like, if you're here to report information and report news, and you're reporting things and you want to add something more to it, then cool.
See, but I didn't know if that was On the Radar that did that. Again, because I'm not from there. I just seen it. But I thought they was talking about, like, it was somebody from D.C. or something that was, like, trying to middleman it.
Well, and so the thing about it is what they basically was saying was, and I don't, listen, y'all already know I'm a straight shooter. Anybody that know me. So if you don't, you know me. So, and it's no ill will, no ill intent. I'm just being honest. And honestly, so you talking about Cav.
Okay, I know Cav.
I fuck with Cav. Yeah, that's yeah, that's my nigga. Like, that's my dog.
Yeah, I fuck with him.
And basically, On the Radar was basically saying they were going to do, like, a tour. And so when they started their tour, they had different people that they were working with to connect, to bring out artists. And so it wasn't like they were only doing this in D.C. They did this in every area. So they had big names from those areas, and then they had, you know, other artists who were still up and coming. I think that the disconnect is that D.C. doesn't have big names. So, or at least not ones that would be on the radar, I guess. So, like, if Wale would have did On the Radar, they wouldn't have charged him any. You know what I mean? Like, this Wale. Shy Glizzy, you know, like. And so I think that, I know from my knowledge, I think it was a thing of, there was a certain amount of slots available that they were going to, you know, that were comp based off of, you know, your who you are, your popularity, whatever. So, like I said, if it was Wale, bring him in. Like, we need that, you know. But on these platforms, it's not that they need you as an upcoming artist. You need them.
Right.
So when there's a need, you pay for it. It's a service. So I think that that's where that came in. And so with that, I think there was a lot of people might have felt like, okay, I have this level of exposure. I have this amount of followers or this amount of fan base. Or I work with this person, so I deserve, like, I should be on that level. But at the end of the day, if a person doesn't feel like you are, then you just aren't, and that's okay. Like, you got to be okay with some people saying, like, to me, you're not on that level, so you got to pay like everybody else. And I think that that was the disconnect. And I think people took it personally. And a lot of times, it's not personal. It's just, it's business, you know? And it ain't even a thing of, like, oh, we friends, or oh, we have a relationship. Because, again, Cav didn't put me on there. Cav, I'm about to say, and me and Cav is tight. If anything, he would have been like, yeah, nah, you got to go. You got to pay too. But I wouldn't take it personal because it is what it is. But what happened was I came and I showed love. And when I did, they asked me, did I want to be on the platform?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Stand back home. You said something earlier. You was like, back, they want you to look a certain way. Explain that, because for me, and don't take this wrong, y'all. All the girls
back
that yeah, back home. All the girls that I see that's like making music from DC, they rap and they not like.
No. I didn't mean look like physically.
Oh, okay, because I'm like they're not giving. I'm not about to call them like ugly, but okay. They're not giving sexy like sex appeal. Like, you know, because that's what I would assume when you like you gotta look. They want you to look a certain way.
No. I didn't mean like that. When I said look a certain way, I meant like look like you popping. Like when you were saying popularity.
Okay.
So I think that like, and it's gotta look like. It got to look like everybody else fuck with you. If everybody else fuck with you, then they be like, okay, let me check them out because I'm trying to figure out why the fuck people fuck with you.
That makes sense, yeah.
And so that happens a lot where it's like, if ain't nobody fucking with you, then you ain't nothing to worry about. Like, but the minute that somebody fuck with you, why y'all I fucking with them? Let me see. You know? Yeah. And that's just human nature.
I was going to say, that's everywhere.
Yeah. That's human nature. But I think it happens a little bit more in D.C. only because I feel like D.C. is like, kind of how like they try to make like Atlanta is like the black music mecca. D.C. is black mecca.
Yeah. Facts.
Like at the end of the day, like you have, of course, they're the trenches. There's the poor people, whatever. But we have so many successful people in the area. And I'm not just going to say D.C., I'm going to say DMV because honestly, it's really Maryland. Mm. But it's so many successful people in the area. But because the area's so small, we all connected. It's like, I'm already, you could be making this amount of money doing music, but bitch, I make this shit going to my 9 to 5. That's, you know what I mean?
Like, the one thing about D.C., it's so many more people making money just working than doing all this.
So they just not impressed.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say it's got to look a certain way because it's like, I'm not fucking impressed. Like, you know what I mean? And for me, it's just like, I'm as an artist, I'm impressed by artistry. Mm. I'm impressed by, you know, vocal ability or, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, I'll support. But I think that people will be like, that was nice, next. Just because it's just like, you're not in a better position than me. Most times when people see that somebody's in a higher position, then they put some respect on it and be like, okay, yeah, let me show some love. And I know some prime examples where I can look at people and be like, okay.
I'm gonna give a hot take, man. I'm gonna give you something, man.
Okay.
This might go crazy, but I don't care.
Okay.
I feel like because it's so many more successful people in DC outside of just like being talented or something like that, like doing music or something, I feel like it's not a lot of creativity that come out of DC. I feel like, well, when I'm comparing to Baltimore, I feel like it's way more like raw talent in Baltimore. And I say that because I feel like in Baltimore, it's like, it's not a lot of people that's like
success. It's because y'all niggas from the trenches. You feel like niggas is from the trenches, so they got it. They don't got no choice.
It ain't no choice. Whereas though in D.C., like, niggas are successful. Like, you can meet a lot of black people that's just doing well. And be like, what you do? Work.
I'm not even, this is the thing. I can't even really go back and forth on that because honestly, I'm not really into Baltimore. I hate putting the T in it.
But I see it. Baltimore.
I'm not really into Baltimore like that. Like I don't really know too many people, like too many artists from Baltimore. Mm. I know a couple people. So I really can't say. But I'm pretty sure, you know, you tuned in, you tapped in, so that's your lane. I ain't gonna speak on that. But I will say that I disagree. Mm. Only because, not disagreeing with the comparison, but disagreeing in terms of DC not having that. Because there's so many young niggas that are in the trenches. It's so, and I say this, I say like, it'll be like a group of hood niggas and all of them rap. Mm. They all rap, like, cause one of us gotta make it. Shit, statistically, shit, one out of 20. So if it's 30 of us in this motherfucking room, we gotta push somebody, right? Mm. I think that, you know, again, I just think that we just don't have the space for exposure. We also don't, because we don't have the space for exposure, I think that it looks a little different. In terms of like it growing or getting out there. Mm. Like we don't have, like I said, we don't have the venues. So nobody's having shows. That's why I love coming to Atlanta. Cause like I get booked for shows. You know what I mean? And granted, my following in DC is better than my following in Atlanta, but I'm getting booked out here. Mm. When I get booked for shows in DC, it's very far, few in between. I'll get paid more, but it's also not as consistent. I about to say, I got another show coming up in October in D.C., but I got booked from somebody in Atlanta. Mm. And they was like, cool, we going to fly out to D.C. and do a show.
Yeah.
Bet.
No, I mean, I can see that. I think, I don't know, maybe it might be because I'm from Baltimore. Like, in Baltimore is so much untapped town. Like, if you was to come, it's like, I don't say everybody, but it almost feels like Atlanta without the money. Like, If I had to like put I never even thought about this. It's my first time ever saying this. If I had to put like how creative people are and like how like you know down here like everybody making movies and shakers and things like that, I feel like Baltimore is similar in a way. It's just the money is in Atlanta.
I think that, and I'm not knocking Baltimore. I'm not saying y'all not because I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think that DC is also the same, like in artistry in so many ways. There's so many photographers, you know, painters, you know, visual artists that are like all over. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I feel like DC music singers, like you said, R&B don't really get no love. Like, nobody's paying us no attention. But I say that to say, like, the talent is there. Mm. But I think that because, one, the cost of living is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So if you're not making no money off your talent, it's also hard for you to invest in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to say, so everybody is working. I think that when you think about it, so many people that I know that are like working full-time jobs and they have talent, but their talent is more like a hobby because they can't invest in it or they can't, you know,
and it's,
push
and
it.
That's, see, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, because in Baltimore, it's kind of the opposite because it's not as nowhere near expensive. It's probably like damn half near cheaper, to be honest. And people are like full-fledged going hard at their dreams. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have real dreamers.
Yeah.
I think because it's so expensive in D.C., you ain't got time to dream.
You don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not, like, trying to take away from nobody in D.C. saying they don't have talent. It's just, like, if you go to Baltimore, like, you could almost feel the dreamers. Like, you could see the dreamers. Whereas, though, in D.C., like, nigga, from my experience, again, I'm not from there, so I wouldn't know too much, like you said, about Baltimore. But from my experience, it's like, niggas is getting to it.
Yeah,
like,
y'all niggas ain't hurting.
Yeah, it's like, niggas is getting to it, and like, I'll do that shit when I can do it.
Because you don't have a choice. And then also, you got to think about the amount of people that, like, got kids and, you know, people that are... it's just, I don't know. I feel like unless you grow up there, it's kind of like a disconnect for people. And I think that when people from the outside looking in, it's always a thing of, like, the expectation to be how you would think it is, because that's just how life is. Like, this is my perception of life, and this is how it should be. And I think living in it, it's just a little different. Like, even for me, I'm not gonna hold you. Like, I worked a job, you know, I've always had a job up until this past year, but like, I've always worked, and it's just like, but people be like, but you be going hard and da da da. I be fucking exhausted. Everybody don't want to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know what I mean? Especially when I work a job and I get to live comfortably. So if it's like, they might start it and it might become overwhelming. You know, a lot of people, I think the way the world is set up now is set up for us to like quit. It's set up for us to settle. It's set up to wear us the fuck out where you don't have a choice but to do what the fuck the world wants you to do.
Yo, you know what? This might be, I don't know if people want to agree with this or not, but from my experience, from my opinion, I think both DC and Baltimore progress more if we didn't separate ourselves.
I agree.
Because like you said, like when we here, we from the same area. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, because like, from the outside, and that's the thing, and I agree with you, and I think that I feel like it's like the siblings thing that like it could be like that. You know what I mean? Like an in-house thing. Like for me, it's like I might fight with my sibling. I'm like, I don't look like that bitch. Ooh, she ugly. Like I might, you know, we get up, we might beef a little bit. But outside of this motherfucking house, don't play with my motherfucking sister. I'll beat your ass.
Right.
And I feel like that's how it should be. But we don't maneuver like that. Yeah. We just be like, we ain't them thing. Yeah. And I'm not gonna hold you because I do the same thing. Like, nigga, what? You want me to say what? Like, like I said. But at the same time, I do feel like when people be like DMV, for me, it's because I grew up in D.C., the D of DMV, like the center of it, right? And so for us, it's like when I look at it, for me, DMV is if the metro train can touch it, if you can get to it on the metro train or the bus, you could be a part of the DMV. But if you can't get there, you can't be. But also, I think about, shit, Baltimore got what, MARTA? Is that the name of the, what's the bus? You don't know the bus? Oh, he too bougie.
Nah, we got MTA.
MTA. Yeah. Oh, what's that? Maryland Transit Authority, huh?
Probably.
Nigga.
Yeah, we got the, I don't think I ever knew what that meant. Like, okay. We got the MTA.
All right. So, but I don't know. I just feel like, because Baltimore does feel like its own entity outside of that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So realistically, do you feel like it's a Baltimore responsibility or a DC responsibility? Because realistically, DC is, we'll say DMV. We will include Maryland and Virginia. But Baltimore be like, we not a part of DMV. Yeah, we be like, y'all not a part of DMV.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I just think like, again, like, when we're there, it's like we're trapped in this imaginary box.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, Baltimore, like, when I'm in Baltimore, we talk about the same shit. Yo, how can we get that one person to pop? And it sounds like, just from the blogs and shit that I see, it's like, yo, when they gonna get the next rapper to pop?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, if we could just come together, because the outside don't see no D.C., Maryland, and Baltimore. They don't see that. They see a region.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, ain't nobody coming out that region, so I'm gonna skip over that region. One is like, if we can just get something popping from the region, then we'll put our region on the map.
You know what I want to do? I think it would be dope if, like, there was a thing where it's, like, the leaders of each. You know what I mean? Like, who is the top three niggas in Baltimore that niggas listen to, right? All right, cool. The top three niggas in D.C., the top three niggas in Virginia. We all come together and be like, all right, look, everybody pick out two artists. We're going to look at them. We're going to determine which artists we're going to push in the whole area. This is who we pushing, y'all. You know what I mean? That would be nice.
That shit ain't never gonna happen. That shit never gonna happen.
But this is the thing, wishful thinking.
Picture Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, and I'm gonna even say Maryland, right?
Little come PG together. Joint.
Right. And they pick an artist, and let's say the artist is from PG, or if the whatever the artist
the
from, the other people
be
not
from
pushing.
Virginia.
The other people not pushing.
That, but that's what I'm saying. Or we can all be like, all right, we're gonna do a 5-year run. This year we're gonna do a Virginia artist. This year we're gonna do a PG artist. This year we're gonna do a Baltimore artist. This year we're gonna do a DC artist.
Shit ain't never gonna happen. They ain't trying none of that shit.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It would be love if we could. Cause then at least if you do it one time, you see that shit be successful and you see it work, then it's like, all right, fuck it. But the thing is, people don't ever wanna take the chance. Don't nobody want to invest in some shit that they don't. They like, nah, I want mine. I want mine. But my thing is, you just got to find shit you really believe in.
Nah, that's a fact. Damn, man. Nah, this is good, man. What's going on now? What's going on? Like, what you pushing a project?
I am.
Is it a project?
It is. It's a small EP. So it's called 90s Type Love.
Okay.
Volume 1, Be My Everything Tonight. So technically, I strung the titles of the songs together. The first song is called Be. Second song is called My Everything. And the last song is called Tonight.
Okay.
And it Tonight features 3-0 Black.
That's dope.
Yeah, love 3-0. He's dope. And this is, I feel like this song kind of gives him an opportunity to do something other than like street shit.
Yeah.
Other than
walk.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody always say that they like, what, 3-0 on it? What the hell you and 3-0 doing on a song together? Yeah, he put a little swag in it. He did something different. He ain't coming it's a sexy song at that. So it's like, 3-0, nigga. Yeah.
I mean, I could see that because like I've interviewed him, and I can see him. I can see the individual in him. So I know it's not like, I understand the business and the music. I can separate that.
Yeah.
But I can see why somebody couldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, he's like way further along than people probably would think. Like, he's way more than just like some shoot him up,
kill him. Some hood shit. Yeah, no, he is. He's very creative, actually. Like, I was about to say, he was working on a project, and I went and I listened to it, and it was like, he had different sounds, different vibes. And the thing, I made a mistake of going in with the assumption that he was only doing hood shit.
I can see that,
When I went in and I did, he was like, you know, do a hook, whatever. I did some hood shit. And they was like, and it was tight. But he was like, but that ain't the lane we in right now. So even though he recorded to it, he did his verse, the song was dope. But he was like, that ain't the lane we going with right now, though. So we gonna do another song.
And that's, you know, it's funny because people don't see those things. But that's what makes somebody special. Like, to be able to see that and be like, yo, let's pivot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that means a lot.
Yeah.
All right, hold up. Before we get out of here, you said you dated a couple artists. Would you date, like, somebody from, like, D.C. and, like, make it, like, a couple thing? And, like, you never know. That might help their career. Shit.
Like a Jay-Z and Beyonce thing?
Shit.
Do they have to be from D.C.?
Oh, shit. I mean.
But, I mean, you just said that. You know, Jay-Z and Beyonce is not from the same place. She's from Texas. He from New York.
I'm just saying back home because, shit. That's who's going to watch this shit.
We're going to be the DMV, Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Uh-oh,
what?
You already got your eye on somebody.
No, I don't.
Okay, cool.
We're dated somebody.
It was a big artist?
No, stop. No.
If you dated them, then they already know.
No, nobody knows. I'm very quiet and secretive. Nobody knows nothing.
Who you date from the DM?
Don't worry about it. All
right.
But in terms of somebody from back home, I would say this. And people who I know of that are artists from back home, I wouldn't date them. Either they're like friends or people that I know have dated them or dealt with them or, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't.
I could see like a I don't even know no right
response. Exactly, because you can't see nobody for me.
I could see
You can't see nobody for me. Granted, I would love to find my equal. I want to be equally yoked with somebody.
I can see like a big time DMV rapper, DC rapper.
Who?
Janae Music. Like,
who?
Spotted.
I'm not listening. And then
on DMV hoods and
I'm
spotted
kinda,
outside.
I kind of want to be like, because I feel like if you say a name, I'm going to be like,
I could see like a.
I'm saying no. But
I could see a. Shit. What's the nigga name? I fuck with his music. Shit, what's the nigga name? Damn, the Browns gonna get. I think y'all probably look alike a little bit.
We look alike.
What's the dude name?
I don't know who the fuck I look like.
He real popular too. Shit.
That I look like?
Not really like, but y'all Browns, y'all got the same complexion. What's the nigga name? He real big. He like a big artist in DC.
I don't know.
Name the big artist.
I don't know. I don't know no big
3-0 Black. Who else?
I don't know. You're not about to do this to me. I don't know.
What's the nigga name? Oh, I'm mad as hell.
I don't know. Either
you know
way,
exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't. Bro. I really don't know who you're talking about.
All right, give me the top five DMV rappers right now.
No.
Shit, man, no. What's this nigga name?
I don't know who you're talking about, but no, I will
I'm
say
gonna Google
that
DC rappers. He gonna pop up. Fuck it. Yeah, what you talking about?
I don't know who you're talking about. Either way, it's a no for me. Nigga, not you still.
Fuck.
AJ, the answer is no.
All right, whatever.
I would not date. I wouldn't date anybody.
That ain't pop up.
But I would love, like I said, I would love to date somebody equally yoked. So whether that be, you know, anywhere in the world, as long as they're on the same page.
He ain't even pop up. Google got to do better. Let me tell you the top five people that popped up when I pulled it up.
Okay, who's that?
Fat Trail, mm-hmm. Lola Monroe, Tabby Bonet. Mm-hmm. That's how I said it?
Yeah, Tabby Bonet. That's a nigga that's saying, pocket, I put you in the pocket. You know that song? It's old. It came out years ago, but.
Okay. Shot Glizzy, of
don't
course.
Don't do that because Tabby Bonet is my nigga.
No, I said, I never. Rico Nasty, Wale, Gold Link, Audra, the rapper, Young Manny. Damn, the nigga ain't even pop up. They got Black China on here before they got the nigga I'm talking about. And I can't remember the nigga name and I'm so fucking mad. It's on the tip of my tongue. Pause. That was crazy. They got Logic on here before they got this nigga.
Yeah, they put Logic.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about. I swear I don't know who you're talking about.
That's probably because that's the nigga you date.
It's not. I don't know who you're talking about.
Don't make me find this shit.
Let it go, Jay.
All right, bro. Whatever. Fuck. All right. Shit.
But you know, if you know anybody that's looking for a wife and they're supportive, that's like, nah. I'm just kidding. I'm in my healing stage right now where I ain't necessarily looking for anything. I'm also, you know, at peace with.
God. I can't find it. I know somebody in the comments gonna be like, he talking about. I think he might have had dreads.
No,
short.
Stop. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know them.
For the people that don't know, man, tell them how to support you and follow you, man.
Okay. Janae Music is J-A-N-A-E Music. If you know how to spell music, you shouldn't be on social media. But Janae Music everywhere. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you'll get all types of conversations and laughs and all types. Because I just be saying anything on Twitter, honestly. I don't know. What else am I supposed to say? What, TikTok?
No, I mean, that's what I'm
saying. Okay, yep. I say Janae Music and Apple Music is Janae Music, Spotify, Janae Music. Everything is Janae Music. My website is www.janaemusic.com. So, yeah, Janae Shit. Music.
I interviewed the nigga too.
Oh, my God.
I can't
God.
Remember. Like,
you
whatever.
Not gonna let this go.
Yo.
Well, then that wasn't the nigga I dated because I don't think he's ever done an interview with you.
J Hill Podcast, Janae Music. It's a wrap, guys. We out.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.